ahead and get us started. It is a work session, so it's a little bit more informal, but at the dais feels formal. So welcome to our April 30th, 2024 Capital Improvement Program work session. I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to Shane.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Shane Creech, and I'm the Public Works Director. Tonight's presentation will focus on Public Works's proposed ballot projects, Public Safety's proposed ballot projects, and the steps necessary to renew the existing capital improvement sales tax. Each of you has a packet that contains location maps for each of the roadway projects we will discuss tonight, along with a copy of the draft ballot projects list. I also think Fire has a handout as well for their portion of the presentation. The current quarter cent sales tax expires on December 31st, 2025, and must be renewed every 10 years. Staff is proposing taking this to voters in August of this year. Finance Department estimates that this tax will bring in almost $126 million, and staff proposes that it be split 25% in public safety, both police and fire, and 75% in public works related projects. Public Works staff met with council at a December 18th, 2023 work session and presented our ideas, and then followed up with individual meetings early in 2024 where we asked council the six questions listed here. Council had very limited comments on what was on the list and how that money was proposed to be allocated. If anything, the overwhelming comment was that the sales tax does not go far enough to address citywide transportation related needs. Public Works staff started with 66 total projects and specifically studied 18 projects using the Highway Safety Manual. The goal was to determine the safety improvement gained by completing a project versus the existing condition. Those projects were used to develop the list before you tonight. The three projects that did not make the list were Rock Quarry Road, which was 5th, Creasy Springs Road, which was 14th, and the southern portion of Sinclair Road, which was 16th. Of the major maintenance projects we discussed on December 18th, the three projects we discussed did not make this final list were Old Hawthorne Drive, Broadway, and the Providence Road outer roadway. Old Hawthorne Drive will need to be addressed during the time frame of this sales tax. Staff just believes that it's best handled via our normal pavement preservation program. We will discuss that budget a little bit later. Projects proposed by council members during our one-on-one meetings have been included in a handout and include a project description, cost estimate, and any applicable staff concerns and comments. While all of these projects are good projects, staff just believes the projects on the draft ballot list are in the most need and are the most benefit to the city as a whole. A previous draft list included Rock Quarry, which was removed by council request, and the extension of Waco Road, which was removed to allocate 25% of the tax to public safety. As you might imagine, over the years, the ballot has varied, but roughly it's been 75% transportation projects and 25% public safety. The Waco extension was a Highway Safety Manual study project and is a possible cost share project that we will discuss later in the presentation. Street and sidewalk projects on the proposed ballot list total over $83 million. With over $63 million going to street and intersection improvements and over $3 million to major maintenance type projects. The remaining $17 million is broken down into the subcategories listed here. We will cover each in a little more detail as we go along. Clark Lane improvements from Woodland Springs to Ballinger Lane. We have an estimated total cost of $7.3 million, that would include widening the road with the center turn lane, possibly bike lanes, curb and gutter, sidewalks, necessary stormwater improvements, and then we would finish with an asphalt overlay. State Farm Parkway and Nifong Boulevard intersection improvements. This project is just estimated a little over $1 million. Replace the one-way stop, three legs with a roundabout, necessary sidewalk improvements, and stormwater and lighting improvements. New Haven Road from Warren Drive to Rolling Hills. This is, we estimate this at just under $7 million, include widening the road, sidewalks, stormwater, and asphalt overlay. Nifong Boulevard from Willow Creek to Old Mill Creek Road. This is kind of that next phase of Nifong. $6.5 million estimated cost. Widening the road, we'd have to widen the roundabouts to double lanes where those are located now. Sidewalks, stormwater, and overlay. You're probably detecting a trend. St. Charles Road improvements from Litchin Road to Grace Lane, that's $5.8 million. It's very similar in scope to what we've discussed on the other projects. Blue Ridge Road and Providence Road intersection improvements, we estimate that at $1 million. That's replacing the four-way stop with a roundabout. And any of these projects, we obviously would look at sidewalks, any stormwater improvements need to do, and then lighting improvements, especially at intersections. St. Charles Road, this is another portion of St. Charles Road from Keene to Richland, just under $10 million. Discovery Parkway and New Haven Road intersection improvements. We estimate that at $1.2 million. This is replacing a four-way stop with a roundabout. Richland Road improvements from St. Charles to Grace Lane, just under $5 million, similar to the other roadway projects we've talked about. Ballinger Lane and Rice Road intersection improvements at $1 million. There's an existing two-way stop there. We replace that with a roundabout, and then sidewalk, stormwater, and lighting. Bethel Road and Green Meadows Road intersection improvements, $1.1 million. That's a four-way stop we'd replace with a roundabout. Rice Road improvements, Hanover Boulevard to Ballinger Lane. That's a little over a $3 million project. That would be curb and gutter, sidewalks, and stormwater improvements. Fairview Road and Worley Street intersection improvements. That's a $1.5 million project. It replaces the two-way stop and offset roads with a roundabout realignment. I think the aerial shows that intersection better than the photo we've got. That's offset roads cause some issues. I think it would function a lot better as a roundabout. Sinclair Road improvements from Nifong South. That's a very expensive project, $12 million. Include widening the road, center turn lane, bike lanes, necessary intersection improvements, sidewalks, stormwater, and asphalt overlay. As you know, there's a lot going on down there, lots of development. We also, when we acquired the property for the South Salt Dome, we'll talk about later, that was kind of part of that development agreement with that development. So this is a project that we've kind of promised as part of all of that. We looked, when we did the highway safety manual analysis, we looked at two sections of Sinclair, and actually the southern section that's not on the list actually scores a little higher in that safety metric, but we see it as this is where the development's at, and so it makes more sense to do the north part first and do the south part after that. So that's why you'll see a little bit of a difference if you look at that list we showed you in December. Let's see. Major maintenance projects allow us to complete a comprehensive upgrade to an existing roadway or bridge structure. Public Works has benefited in recent years from an additional $2 million in transportation sales tax funds that now returns to the airport. Luckily, the city's use tax has balanced $1.5 million of that projected loss for a net loss of $500,000 in fiscal year 2024. While that issue is worthy of discussion as part of the fiscal year 2025 budget, it illustrates the benefit of our major maintenance program. So our major maintenance projects, one is Smiley Lane from Providence Road to Rangeline. That's a $500,000 project. We would replace failed subgrade and concrete panels, repair sidewalks where necessary, and finish it off with an asphalt overlay. You've probably seen some of the major maintenance projects we've done around town. We did one on Walnut earlier this last year. We've got one on Garth we will do in 2025, I believe. So it gives us an opportunity to do a project in an area that maybe is fully developed out, but we end up with a brand new looking road with that asphalt overlay, and everything's brought up to snuff in one. State Farm Parkway, this is from Veterans United Drive to Grindstone Parkway. I think the picture kind of tells you everything you need to know. It's $1 million estimated cost, replace failed subgrade and concrete panels, repair sidewalk, and finish it off with an asphalt overlay. Bay Street, major maintenance from Wilkes to Business Loop. That's a $700,000 estimated project. This picture tells you about everything you need to know as well. Replace failed subgrade and concrete panels, fill in sidewalk gaps. There's some sidewalk gaps on this section. Finish it off with an asphalt overlay. Then the Chapel Hill Road major maintenance bridge at County House Branch. It's $1.1 million project. Replace the existing bridge and low water trail crossing under the bridge. Probably will take some realignment. That bridge is kind of at the end of its useful life. In addition to roadway and sidewalk projects, Public Works is in need of some work to our existing facilities and the ability to complete a new facility to better serve the needs of our citizens. One is that South Salt Dome I talked about earlier. It is on Sinclair Road, just south of Nifong. We've already purchased the property. We've got the design underway. This completes the construction of the Salt Dome, and it helps us improve winter weather plowing and response time. Some of what you see on this is a future phase. This is more just to get the Salt Dome in place and be able to work out of there in the winter. Along those same lines, our North Salt Dome on Big Bear is in need of some existing facility renovations. So that's a $1.5 million estimated cost. It's the replacement of the existing Salt Dome with a new fabric structure. This one we've had in place for quite some time, and it's time for a rehab. And then our Grissom building on Lakeview Avenue. I always say the best way to explain this to you would be to give you a tour, probably. But we've got $7.4 million in there for renovations of the existing facility. We are working on, we've got a preliminary approval of a raise grant for this facility, but it's for transit only. So we've got some limitations on how we can spend that money. This $7.4 million represents about 50% of the estimated remaining need per the Grissom master plan. So this would allow us to start on some initial phases of the renovation. Now we get into our subcategories. That represents $17 million, and it's we'll discuss each one of these as we go along. First one is cost share. We've got $5 million allocated. Let's see here. Time to time, the city has opportunities to share in the cost of roadway projects that have a benefit to multiple public entities or participate in grant opportunities. So for that, we've allocated $5 million, and those kind of come up throughout the sales tax. It's just good to have that money available when those possibilities arise. Now this is just a list of the possible cost share opportunities. I would only specifically highlight the Waco Road extension as something we believe to be a necessary project sooner rather than later due to development in the area and the expansion of uses proposed at the Northeast Regional Park. It's also important to note that the very north end of Forum Boulevard is on this list, as we discussed at the last council meeting, as is Business Loop 70. The Reconnecting Neighborhoods and Communities grant we've been preliminary awarded for Business Loop 70 only studies the roadway to put us in a better position to pursue a raise-like grant to complete the actual construction project, which is estimated. We've reduced the amount in the traffic calming category and increased the funding in the traffic safety category, which is the next slide. However, the total amount remains essentially the same. Therefore, we can always move money and complete more traffic calming projects if that's the desire of council. The first page of the current 2023 neighborhood traffic management score sheet can be found on the back page of the location map packet I gave you, just to give you an idea of some of the projects that are on the horizon when it comes to traffic calming. So when it comes to traffic safety, this is the fund we use for our Safe Streets for All grant match. This is also where we propose to implement a mid-block pedestrian crossing program, and that's the next. Public Works staff has received several requests for mid-block crossings, many near schools. However, we don't have a dedicated funding source. Therefore, the movement of traffic calming money to traffic safety money will help in that regard. Really, our main issue here is determining how to best prioritize those. We are starting that process with Columbia Public Schools, as the top five listed here are all near schools. That'll be something we can talk a little bit further about. We have allocated just over $4 million for sidewalk projects. Public Works prefers to select these projects off the city's sidewalk master plan and has been very successful in the recent past obtaining cost share money from MoDOT for work of this type. That allows that money to go even farther. We also have the relatively new residential citizens cost share program. However, our issue to date has been finding contractors willing to work with residents on relatively small sections of sidewalk. So we're trying to figure out how to make that work best. That's caused us some issues. We've allocated $3.2 million for street reconstruction. This often takes the form of either additional streets that come up during the tax period or contingency for listed street projects that experience scope creep during the public improvement process. So when we have meetings like Forum where we talk about doing something different than we originally had planned, this allows us a fund to go to help us with those kind of things when those kind of things happen. It isn't a bottomless pit of money, but it is something to refer to. We've allocated just over $500,000 for corridor preservation. This money is used to purchase property where we anticipate a roadway need in the future. An example is the original proposed location of fire station number 10 at the St. Charles Road and Richland Road intersection. That's a project that will come, if we move forward with this ballot list and the tax passes, that's an intersection that we would need to purchase. That those are the kind of things we look out for on the front end to try and get out in front of where we can. The city has an urban forestry master plan that allows us to fund tree planting projects. Many of these projects are located along the listed street projects on the ballot list. However, staff has determined that we can get a better final product if we pursue a tree planting project separate from the roadway project the year after construction. As you might imagine, road contractors don't necessarily make the greatest arborists. We are also tasked with maintaining our growing urban forest as we increase the number of roadways that include street trees. So as we have more and more roads with street trees, and as those street trees mature, we have to have plans in place to maintain them appropriately. With that, I will turn it over to the police and fire chief to talk about their proposed public safety projects.
In the fire department, we're staying with the same pattern that's been followed with the previous project. Our apparatus has to be replaced every 10 years, and we're looking at $14,450,000. The first portion of that will go for station number 10. It'll be a $5 million project. And then after that, you can see throughout the course of the 10-year period of the replacement. We gave you a handout that identifies the apparatus that's actually being replaced. If you notice, the numbers increase as you go further down the list. That's taken in consideration the increase of pricing of the apparatus. The apparatus is becoming more challenging, and we're obviously going to look at different vendors to see which is the best one to actually follow. But we're looking at roughly what used to be a 10 to 14 month turnaround time to get the apparatus in is now a minimum of 2 years. So it takes much longer to get the apparatus. We try to replace them every 10 years, and that gives us a reserve apparatus that we can place in service. Anytime an apparatus goes down or if there's maintenance to be performed, then we put the reserve apparatus immediately in service at that point. And so there's no reduction in services throughout the fire department during that time period. And this is our best estimate as to what we feel the funds we'll need within that 10-year project.
We've kind of been just going through everybody's, and then we'll probably hold for questions at the end.
So my list is a lot shorter, but potentially more expensive than his. So the first section is about finishing the phase two of the North Station, and that includes the upper floor, the second floor that is just a shell, the outbuilding that was never constructed, and then there were supposed to be canine kennels on that side as well. So what we decided to do, there was some money allocated towards that project, I think, in a prior year. And because of our very critical evidence storage needs, we have decided to take that money and put it towards building onto our training center down south to add on evidence storage space down there and essentially moving all of the evidence unit down to that building. That's really a critical mass. We have to have a lot of cooler space now because we have to retain sexual assault kits and homicide evidence indefinitely. And so that has really put us in a bind. The second is the renovation / reconstruction, which is really starting from scratch with the downtown facility. We did a needs assessment back in, I think it started in 2011, finished in 2012. We were presented with three options at that time. It's important to remember at that time, we also still had control over joint communications, so that was included in this assessment. But at that time, we chose option three, which was to start with the North Station construction first, and then move on to the downtown station, and then eventually the South Station. After speaking with Shane and also some internal conversations and speaking with the city manager's staff, we decided it would be prudent to do another needs assessment since this one is so outdated, and put out obviously the required RFPs and such to start that process. But we have some money set aside that we can do that with to get a more real world picture today as to what we actually need. I can tell you, so just an example, you know, the HVAC in our building is really, it's limping along at best. They've had to set aside a couple $1 million just to make sure we can keep it running. The ramp is in significant need of work. It's been repaired several times, but we have sometimes some structural issues there. I can tell you back when we did the needs assessment in 2012, with the option that we chose, they assumed a design start date of March of 2017 at that time to completely raise and rebuild the downtown headquarters. At that time, the price tag on that project, if it was started in March of 17 and occupied in April of 19, the price tag was about $26.5 million. So we know it's going to be more today. We don't know what exactly that's going to look like. The plan is somewhat similar, but we think doing another needs assessment will be helpful because we need to talk about what would be in the downtown building now as opposed to what was planned back then. That assessment is very robust. We went into everything from office space sizes to trying to determine how much staff we would have, you know, 20 to 25 years out in each of the facilities. And so I think going through that process again will give us a better picture of what we're going to need downtown, but the downtown building is definitely the priority.
I promise.
This sales tax renewal is planned for the August 2024 ballot, and council will see the items on the May council agendas. Included on this slide is the ballot language from 2015. We anticipate it to be very similar. Tonight, our goal is to finalize the list of projects in front of you. Once that's complete, we will begin the education process. We will have a social media and website plan. Staff anticipates speaking about the projects at various citizens groups as we lead up to the August vote. I've also asked the Chamber's Transportation and Infrastructure Committee to help us get the word out. In addition to the two chiefs, Richard Stone and Allison Anderson of my staff are with me tonight, and we're happy to answer any questions you might have.
So this time we'll do questions for council, kind of overall general questions, and then maybe project specific. Is there any questions from council for staff? Yeah, Nick Foster and Betsy.
Shane, can you go back to slide 6? Thanks for numbering these. My question really is just how we got here. And if you talked about this a little bit, but this is done every 10 years. I'm sure there are things that just come to your attention over time and you would consider that. But for instance, with the PACER ratings, those happen how often do those happen?
We do that. We do a quadrant, so we move through, but every year we're doing those.
Okay, but not all over the city. It's just in quadrants. So 4 different areas within the city. Okay, so it kind of depends on the kind of roadway we're talking about. So how did you, can you just talk
again? Can you repeat what Richard said into the microphone,
sorry.
Shane?
Sure, let me make sure I get it right. Get up here.
Thank you.
Get up here.
Richard Stone, I'm the engineering operations manager for Public Works. We generally do once every 2 years for arterials and collectors for a PASER rating, once every 3 years for residential streets. So we try to rotate that around. Staffing limitations and everything might shove that one off occasionally, but generally that's about what we do.
Okay. So I guess I'm asking then a more general question about how we got to these particular projects. And if you can just go to that again, this is something I'd like to be able to explain clearly.
Sure. So a while back, we sent a couple maps to you all via email, and one of them showed all 66 projects. So a lot of that starts internally with Public Works staff. Things that have come up that have been brought up by previous councils, areas where we see them, areas where we have seen development, just experience that Public Works has had, like the major maintenance projects are more the experience of my street division, my supervisors, the things that they have seen. You know, when it comes to like a PASER rating, when we rate these things, there are, you know, as you can imagine, as the road gets worse, that cost to fix it goes up. So you'll hear us say a lot, keeping our good roads good. That's, you know, somebody from the outside looking in might think, why are they doing something to that road? It looks pretty good. Well, we're trying to keep it that way. A road gets to the point where you can keep covering it up with asphalt, but you haven't fixed any of the problems underneath. And so those projects are good candidates for major maintenance projects. So anyway, we took those 66 projects and then, you know, we said from, you know, what of those projects make the most sense? And we wanted to find a way to quantitatively provide you a ranking or something. And so we use safety, we're a Vision Zero city, use safety as the method by doing that. So we picked out 18 projects that we thought were the most viable to look at and had that analysis done, had those ranked, and that's what we presented to you in December.
It's essentially what you observe. I mean, it's through observation and experience out in the community that you identify these things. Are they brought to you by the council or the public or both?
Yes.
And then you just kind of keep all of these on a list, I assume, of some kind, and then you go back and review them to make a determination about what goes on the list and what stays off.
Yes.
Okay. I've got some more, but I'll stop.
Betsy.
I had a couple of questions. I used Fay Street. I don't know the numbers. I forgot to pay attention. You were talking about repairing that and putting asphalt over it. I realize that's not in my ward, but my question has to do with curbs, because once you asphalt over a street like that, you don't have any curbs anymore. What do you do about that?
So the milling and overlaying process, the milling machines can actually mill an inch and a half down or 2 inches down on concrete as well as asphalt. So it'll actually be about a foot and a half away from the curb. It'll be milled down. And then most of the time with concrete, we do what's called a taper mill. So it'll go from that inch and a half up to zero across 7 feet, 9 inches, which is the width of a milling machine. It goes up to zero, and then we overlay the entire thing. So it's a little thicker at the middle of the road, but goes down to where the curb is still available.
Okay.
So we don't actually overlay to the curb line itself. We just overlay.
Okay. Salt domes, I didn't see, you had $1.5 million, I think, to replace the north salt dome covering. But what was the south salt dome? Because you guys were having to build that, correct? So $1.8 million versus $1.5 million?
The money already in the previous tax to acquire the property. And so this is the difference that we need to, you know, to move the project forward.
This would complete a building on the site as well. So more of the master plan would be pursued if we can. So.
Okay. And then could you educate us on what's in the Grissom building? A very well-loved building amongst the city staff, but I don't really know what's in there.
Sure. All of transit, the bus barn, and all of fleet is located there, and street operations.
Okay. Where is that?
It's where you drop off your hazardous waste materials on the first and third Saturdays, April through November.
Place we all well know.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Those are my questions, okay. As long as we're still on general questions,
right? Yeah, kind of general questions. Any general questions?
Would you mind just reviewing how, if this is approved, how this is going to be proposed to the public again? That last slide, I'd like to review that, please.
Better way to do this, but I haven't figured it out. So.
Thank you.
There, or you're talking about, like, next steps?
Okay. Well, and then going back to the ballot,
which, okay. And sure. This might also be a good time to clarify. You made a clarification with this asterisk to explain the state law requirement of language. Mm-hmm.
And so, what's on that ballot language is exactly how it was proposed in 2015. So it'd be a great question for Nancy whether the asterisk has to still be there.
Yes. And you will see on your council agenda come Thursday some substantially similar language, except for we'll talk about December 31st of 2025 being the expiration date. So the ballot language calls for a sales tax of 1/4 of 1% for a period of 10 years. So that means it sunsets automatically if it's not renewed and approved by the voters, which is why, excuse me, which is why it will be on, it's being proposed for the August ballot so that it can get renewed prior to the point in time in which it expires. And then the ballot language goes on to say, for the purpose of funding capital improvements, which may include the retirement of debt under previously authorized bonded indebtedness. And there's that asterisk that you're talking about. Down below, the asterisk says, this language is required by state law. The city does not intend to use sales tax funds to retire debt under previously authorized bonded indebtedness. And what's important about that is that that very first paragraph is the statutory language. We can't change that. That's set forth in state law, and state law says if you submit a ballot measure for a capital improvement sales tax, this is a language that you shall use. It's not may use, it's shall use. So that's why that's there. And we explain it with the asterisk, and then we also have that, the paragraph, it has been traditional in Columbia to include a little bit of a blurb about when the expiration of the sales tax will occur and what the intent is for use of the proceeds.
Any other general questions? I have a general question too.
I think they're general. When you're doing these, do we also have an idea about the estimated life of the projects that are being proposed? How long will they be effective, or how long will they remain in the condition that we intend?
In like a road project?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that in particular, not necessarily.
Richard might have a different rule of thumb, but I was always taught that you need to do something to your roads about every 7 to 10 years, mm-hmm. You know, through some kind of maintenance early on. That's that's minimal as they get, you know, and if you stay on them, it's to kind of stays that way. It's when you're unable to spread the money around enough, and, you know, it's kind of like spinning plates. Eventually a plate's going to fall, and that road's going to cost you more to fix because you didn't stay on top of that one. And so we've got 1,500 lane miles of road, and so that, you know, that budget, that, you know, that loss of that $500,000 I talked about earlier, concerns us. We would tell you we probably didn't have quite enough, even with that $2 million influx, but $500,000 less doesn't go as far.
Okay.
This tax has always been mainly about new projects, so really it's that's a different conversation. Typically, I would just say, I think we found the major maintenance projects as a way to do projects in areas where maybe we don't need to, you know, we don't have the development, it's already happened. It's a way to go in and have a brand new road in one of those locations, you know, to show the voters we're spending money there too.
So a general question, we've recently had some 2015 projects come across our desk for decisions on at this council. And some of the questions have been about, you know, things like how we talk to the voters about what the design looks like. And we are about to start a new review of our complete streets or livable streets policy. So as far as what you have estimated for the cost in these street projects, especially when it says things like bike lanes or sidewalks, is there flexibility in there in case our new policy comes with a different standard than what we might be designing with today?
There is some built-in flexibility. What's difficult, there's just a lot of unknowns, obviously. We're starting that process to look at our complete streets policy and what comes out of that. We always have some contingency in each one of these numbers, but what comes out of that, and then what comes out of the public improvement process? I'll use Ash Street as an example. That was a intersection project that's become a pedestrian and a linear project where we're looking at pedestrian facilities along the whole corridor. And so, you know, it all has to come forward, you know, to you all. Can't anticipate everything, but we try to provide some flexibility in there on each one of these projects.
And then similarly, you mentioned in some of the cost share projects, we've had over the last year a few presentations on major roadways that are not ours. So like Paris Road, when you showed the what could be, and as it turns into Route B, and then also when I noticed you have the Richland Road from St. Charles to Grace. But that's the only part that's ours. And then the continuation and then as well as Grace Lane. So as development happens in that, if we potentially have a project with the county, do we have those estimates in here in case we have to work together?
So the list that was in here of different projects, we've tried to estimate what those projects would entail, full cost. So if one of those became a cost share project, it would just depend on what that participation is. But one thing about those is if it was 80-20 and we had, that makes our money go farther. It's just hard to say what another entity may or may not be interested in funding. MoDOT, for instance, has, they're with us on CATSO, and so they usually have an interest in sidewalk projects because they have to meet some multimodal requirements, and so that's excellent opportunity to go after of TAP grants, and that's where we've been successful. We've had some success with the State Department of Economic Development getting some money in the past. That's kind of how Discovery was done. So we've had some. And then obviously all the grants that are out. So it's hard to judge that. It's really just trying to have enough money to be flexible to be able to match when we have that opportunity.
I guess I was asking when we were kind of putting in a number in there, were those some of the were those some of the projects that we thought might come out, or we don't know what might be a cost?
Oh, similar to the the list of 66 projects we started with, sort of same thing, projects we've talked about over time, whether that's us or we've talked to MoDOT about or the county about, trying to, you know, just give you some examples of things that can come up. It's a complicated process when it comes to MoDOT of what's going to rise to the top. No one, you know, no one knew improve I-70 was coming just 2 years ago. And so trying to be flexible is the
Mayor, if I might, too, I'm going to just interject that the list itself is a very fluid list, meaning that it's a plan that can go forward as to this particular city council's intent on what, excuse me, the funds would be used for. If you get into year 7 or 8 in this plan and something is no longer a priority, it's not set in stone. So this is the wish list for the ballot measure. And then in addition to this, you have your entire capital improvement projects plan and long-term plan where the dollars that I think that you're talking about might be more accurately reflected or accounted for as a part of that particular process. So this is just one snapshot of the bigger CIP plan that contains in addition, the transportation sales tax funds and other things that are dedicated to
I'd be cautious to say that this is not the list that we're doing because the last two votes we just did, we justified by saying it was on the list. So caution there. I get the cost share. I guess my question was just kind of like, how do we like think into that as we're seeing this development happening, especially in the eastern area, and just being prepared for it if we do all of a sudden have to widen Richland Road because all of a sudden it's ours.
The challenge is that this council can't bind future councils with any level of specificity, right? So it's an honor. It's honoring the will of the voters.
Asking for specificity. I was asking for, are we planning for some of these things?
Okay, no, I'm just late. Trying to
thank
get
you. Don, you had a general question.
Yeah, along with what Shane said about, you know, I-70 coming up 2 years ago, we didn't even think about it. Talking about here and binding the council 10 years out. Is there a reason why this is like the third iteration of a 10-year plan and we're not working on a shorter window, 5 years, 7 years, to give us a little more flexibility?
Because you have a 10-year ballot measure. So what you're trying to do is project out the expenditures for that 10-year
right.
But that you can present.
Right, but I'm saying instead of a 10-year ballot measure, make it a 5-year ballot measure.
I recommend going to the voters every
Okay.
It's hard to plan.
I mean, a lot of cities don't have a sunset or they're on their tax, so it's just something mm-hmm. that's there that you do every year and it's part of your process. I mean, for us, that probably would be an easier one. It could
Craig, can you move your microphone closer?
I'm sorry. A lot of cities don't have the sunset, and part of with the sunset, that's what makes it a little bit more difficult because you have to try to project 10 years in out. If you didn't have the sunset, then it would be something that you could do that shorter planning where you understand exactly where you're going every 5 years. But I wouldn't go to the voters every 5 years to ask for a tax increase. Not a tax increase, because it's not an increase. It's a renewal.
It's a renewal, right.
But that's.
My other assumption is because it takes time to raise that amount of money for the cost of projects.
Yes.
I'm assuming that for some of these, you needed the whole 10 years.
And unless you bond a project, but that's one thing that we don't do for a street project.
Right. Because of, okay.
And so that's another next step I really didn't put on here is once we know what that ballot list is, one of the things we'll do is we'll work with finance on how's that money estimated to come in, and you've got to build up that money in order to do projects. So some of you can't do them all at once on the front end. So you've got to, we want to show progress. We want to show projects that we're doing, but it's going to take some time to generate the forums towards the end of this sales tax. Well, it's the most expensive
well,
one.
I know
we had to generate that money.
Yeah,
to get
I mean
there.
It's part of the expiring one, but we're actually not going to get started on it till the next one.
Right.
All right. Any other general questions? Yeah, Betsy.
Are we just doing streets, or are we doing fire stations?
I think we could do any like specific projects or roads. Yeah. But I think we should probably start with just because Public Works is sitting there. Okay. We want to start with the streets and sidewalks projects.
Well, just a general question.
Yeah, no, it's still general.
And I've not worked with this before. I don't anticipate doing it again. So
I don't
either. We do this sales tax. Why do we specify a part of it for public safety? Why is that the way that this capital improvements projects thing has come to pass? And how do we? Because it goes into, and I assume it just goes into the general fund, right?
No.
It does not go. So this is in addition to what the general fund.
This is a dedicated fund that goes to the.
Oh, I see.
So it cannot be used for anything.
So there's just specificity for public safety capital projects in
here.
Well,
and so it's the only funding source that we have for public safety capital projects. And so that's the reason why we use it as part of, and that's been part of our process.
Okay.
And similar to how other cities don't have the sunset on their CAP, how do other cities manage some of their public safety?
Well, if you take a look at some of our taxes, so we have a transportation tax, and with most cities, your transportation tax is what goes toward your road infrastructure projects. For us, it's road infrastructure plus airport and public transit, and so that tax takes up those processes. So that means your CIST, your capital improvement tax. So for most cities, your capital improvement tax is used for, some of it's used for fleet and then for public facilities infrastructure. But because we don't have that, it's used for streets and police and fire.
Just essentially, this is the funding mechanism we use for this. The funding, there are other cities that will do it in a different way.
Absolutely. And there's other taxes that we can always lean into, but then that's going to the voter tax for passing a tax levy.
I'm going to throw in, just because it was in the ballot language, that there is also some cities will do bonded indebtedness and use their 10-year tax to pay off projects over the life of. They'll use that as a dedicated funding source to pay off the bonds. So that's the reason that language is there, but we have chosen not to do that.
Roy, you had a question.
So when this passes, how do we prioritize when and if this passes? How do we prioritize which projects comes first, second, last, et cetera?
Sure. So the way that I've presented these in the presentation tonight matches the list that I gave you, and those are the highest rated ones from a safety perspective of the ones we studied. So it's that combined with the estimated cost of each project and how much money each year that brings in. So we have to generate enough money to fund those subcategories for each year. So that's divided by 10, whatever that number is, divided by 10. And then how much money we bring in will determine how soon we can do the project. But the other thing to remember too is there's other costs that aren't just construction. And so some of them, we hire a consultant, we've got to acquire right away, we've got to do all that things in the estimate, but it takes, usually acquiring right away takes a year minimum. The public improvement process takes close to a year itself. So, and then construction. So you're looking at 2 or 3 years before a lot of these projects move forward. And so the smaller projects you can move quicker on, because there isn't as much right away to acquire and isn't as much construction to be done or design to be done. So for me to tell you exactly how I'm going to do them in what order, we're not ready for that, because I don't even have a finalized list yet.
Okay. But there will be a list that will be finalized that kind of sets precedence of which order they're coming?
Once we know which projects are on the ballot list, that's when we would start talking to finance about what order. And what you would see is we kind of line all that out, very similar to how I've got a list right now of the current CIP. And like when I say we're going to start construction on Forum in 2026, well, we've known that we were going to start design in 23, and to set ourselves up for all those things. So we didn't want to get too far into that when I don't exactly know what's on the list yet. So
is there any wisdom in allowing the funds to be used against other debt? DeCarlin and Nancy, with your experience and wisdom, I'd be curious if you think that we're limiting ourselves by not allowing.
It really depends on what the project is. So when we talk about the central station, most likely the smart thing would be to do some type of bond issuance for that, because the $16 million that we believe we'll have, actually, so if you look at what we're going to have to pay to finish off the Molly Bowden, so maybe it's more around $14, $13 million, that won't be enough to build what we need. And so at that time, it may make sense to do a bond issuance that will allow for the tax to pay that off. But that's part of the discussion of exactly what we have to do an analysis of. But so, yes, there are projects where it makes sense to do a bond issuance that allows for the tax to pay it off.
And we're not prohibited from doing that in the future. We just have not done that in the past. So the proceeds from this particular extension would not go to pay prior indebtedness. So you're not prohibited from doing it in the future if you chose to do it based on a financing plan for some of the projects.
All right, specific questions, projects that you maybe have clarifying questions on, or why is it not, why is it done?
Shane, you were talking about the sidewalk cost share and having difficulty finding contractors to work with the homeowners. What is the holdup or the difficulty?
Sure. So the way our process works is the homeowner hires or gets three bids from a contractor, hires the contractor to do the work, and then once we have that information back, then we give them 50% of what the cost was. And what we're running into is contractors who are busy around town doing, you know, all kinds of projects. A lot of times it's an individual property owner that has, I'm going to say it's two or three panels to be replaced or something like that. And so they're having trouble getting contractors to want to do that work. And so there are situations where if there's an issue in a neighborhood down a street, and you know, a lot of these are coming from like, there's a somebody in your neighborhood complains about sidewalk down one street because they walk there every day. Neighborhood services goes out and says, yeah, this isn't compliant, and sends letters. When you got multiple locations, it's a little bit easier to get a contractor to go in there and do, you know, line that out. But when it's just a spot here or a spot there, it's difficult to get those contractors to do that. So we're trying to figure out how to handle, you know, is there a way for us to hire the contractor to do that? But then that changes the dynamic a little bit of how we typically do it. So we're trying to figure that out.
Well, I could see a couple of possible suggestions. One, small business opportunity, you know, if somebody wanted to take that on. The other one is considering partnering with like MACC or CPS Career Center for those that training in the trades. You know, that might be something that a small project, they can use that to build their skill set.
Sure. No, that's definitely an idea we can look into.
Betsy?
Are we to individual projects
yep.
now?
Yep.
Okay. So I'd like to bring up Old Hawthorne again. I know that those roads are only about 20 years old, but they are failing pretty impressively, as you all pointed out, because they didn't have to put gravel, because the standards have changed, apparently, for building the roads. And I think that that's one of the projects that needs to go on the CIP. What I wasn't sure, though, Shane, was you said something about you thought there was a different way to fund replacing that road, because that, from talking to you about it, this wasn't a patchwork. This is a road that needs to be replaced. So what were your other thoughts on that, or Richard, whoever?
Some ideas.
So the roadway itself is about 2.5 miles, all the entire length.
It's a big project.
Yeah, to replace all of it. Currently, we're replacing roughly $150,000 to $200,000 of panels. We typically, with our pavement management approach, we don't do a worst first. We try to keep more roads in good shape. In this case, that's the way to do this particular roadway, is to find the panels that are failing the worst and replace those and catch some of those that are going to fail at the same time. If we were to put something on there for a major maintenance, we could take out a chunk of it depending on how much funding would go towards that. It's about $4.5 million for the entire length. So if you put $1 million towards it, it would be about, you know, a quarter to a little bit more of the road, depending on scale of getting a little bit better pricing to replace a bigger section of it. So.
But I thought my understanding in talking to you all was that replacing panels was sort of a questionable experience because the panel next to it could also be failing, and the panel in front of it or behind it could be failing, and so you end up with a much larger project than you anticipated initially?
It's kind of a patchwork approach.
Right.
Individual panels and can be more costly than other approaches, but
right.
you're just basically trying to keep the road functional best that we can.
I'm asking why that would not be recommending that we put that back on the CIP project list. And for if no other reason, you know, we took Rock Quarry Road off, which was a $13 million expected thing, and I expect a nightmare to redo, and more than that. So anyway, I guess I really should be talking to you guys, although they're the ones that are giving me the information.
Yeah.
The experts on that. So although that this is considered a neighborhood street, it is 2.5 miles long, and it does impact a number of neighborhoods off of that road. So I would consider putting that back on this list.
And you didn't have a maintenance plan for, it was a patchwork? Because you have in here between $1 and $5 million, which is quite a stretch.
Depends on how much you want to tackle, really, is what it comes down to.
But it seemed like when we had talked about it, like tackling the whole thing would be more cost effective than tackling it in bits and pieces.
So the finished product will look better.
The finished project would be better?
Yeah. No. You know, one concern I had in that particular location is, you know, we could replace panels that need to be replaced, and we could come in and do a mill and an overlay and put in an asphalt overlay. I don't know how well received that would be out there. You know, something that all projects are good projects. Really what it comes down to is if the desire of council is to add that in, we'd probably need.
And the question is, what comes off?
Yeah, exactly. That's the issue. And like I said, if I still believe it's a project that needs to be done, and really it comes down to having that conversation about how much money we put towards pavement preservation, because all major maintenance projects are really pavement preservation projects. Mm-hmm. And so it's a matter of, do you want to put that here, or do you want to do that in phases through our pavement preservation plan? And how do we fund that citywide in order to be able to do that? Because we're $4 million over 10 years, you know, to that somewhere.
And to clarify, that's the section, kind of like the second section down. Examples under major maintenance are the Smiley Lane, the State Farm Parkway, Fay Street, and Chapel Hill Road Bridge. Those are your examples of major maintenance that this one would fall.
Yeah, it would fall under that. That being said, it doesn't. If you wanted to put Old Hawthorne on there, it doesn't have to come at the expense of a major maintenance project. It could come at the expense of any of the projects that are on that list. That's really.
So, Barbara, what are you reading off of?
On the handout that's in front of us?
There's a lot of handouts in front of us.
The main one, the second section down where it says Smiley, number 22. Where you see 22, 23.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That helps.
I guess it just helped me put a perspective. Like, if that's where it would be, then the number, the dollar amounts, like consideration.
Right, and all I was trying to illustrate was we've made the decision to have so much money in major maintenance and so much money in
streets and sidewalks.
There's no, it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
You could, you know, it doesn't even, you know, you could even talk about the subcategories. It's all in front of you. It just gets difficult when we start moving things around because got to find $4 million somewhere. I filled it up, right or wrong. So,
right. Nick has a follow-up.
Going back to Old Hawthorne, then, you said something about a mill and overlay and an asphalt. Is it not an asphalt surface now?
Concrete.
It's concrete, and so that's what you're talking about. And to replace it as a concrete road is just going to be more expensive than doing it by asphalt.
We were going to tear it all out.
Yeah.
I think there's benefit. We would probably want to put it back in concrete. That's what it is now. asphalt? I mean,
yeah, there's
maintenance reasons.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. talking to him, looking at this.
I mean, we would analyze the specific locations to make sure that we're getting the best dollar value for it. With concrete, you can kind of break up, because there's so many side streets that are connected to it, you can kind of break up where you do the construction a little better than if we did asphalt. We would still analyze whether or not it would be better to do it asphalt or concrete, and then that would be part of our conversation with council at a future date on what the cost would be and, you know, what this would look like.
In general, though, concrete is more expensive than asphalt, I'm assuming.
It can be. Again, you're trying to construct a roadway for the long term, so right. It generally capital cost for a well-constructed roadway is about the same for either one, depending. There's a lot of factors that go into that statement, but.
I want to just follow up then. Part of our conversation tonight is what comes first and, you know, how you make that determination. And part of your answer to a previous question, it sounded like safety is a significant element in determining where you go to do these projects. And I would assume then that there is some priority given to those situations that where safety is more at issue than in others. Is that fair to say?
I guess I would tell you that we used a lens of safety to determine these projects. That doesn't mean there's not, you know, you could do all major maintenance type projects. I can spend that money any way you want to. We just felt like safety was the best path forward.
And that seems right to me. I mean, if we're, you know, you've got aesthetic issues, I guess, at work, and even traffic flow, but the essential thing is we want to be sure that the roadways are safe, and that would seem to me a way to prioritize what we put on the list, and then the order in which we do them. So that, if we're going to, especially, I guess this is part of the question, if we're going to take something off, then we're going to put something else in its place, then what role does safety play in making that determination?
Well, and I guess the way I would say that is we looked at 18 projects, and like Creasy Springs, for instance, is a project that's not on this list that we studied. It's a good project. We put on major maintenance projects at the expense of, let's say, Creasy Springs that didn't make that list. So that's a really good project. You can do less major maintenance projects, but that maintenance doesn't go away. And so all of those projects on that list will have to be handled in some way, shape, or form with our current maintenance funds. Whether, you know, we might not be able to replace the bridge on Chapel Hill, but we would do major maintenance to it or something like that. And so you can add other projects. We're kind of betting on how quick development's going to happen in one area versus another, and where we can get the most bang for our buck from a safety perspective.
Well, regarding Creasy Springs,
Lisa, we had somebody else had other questions first.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. We had Betsy had a follow up, I think, and then Don, you had your hand raised, and then I'll acknowledge you.
I mainly just had more of a comment. Although that we're trying to look at safety first, I think we also need to look at how many people use the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I will bring up, sadly, Rock Quarry. Having been on a committee that looked at that road for like 4 years, there's really no way to put a pedestrian walkway on there. There's really no way to straighten that road out. We can put up more guardrails, and we can try and direct the kids to not drive on that road. And certainly when they built all of those student apartments down there, we were told, I wasn't on council then, but the city was told, oh, the kids won't use Rock Quarry Road, they're gonna use Highway 63 and they'll use Providence and they're not gonna go down that road. That isn't exactly true, but at the same time, that's a very curvilinear road, you know, on the side of a valley. Is it really worth $13 million? Because that is an unsafe road, but that means that we don't do other roads in the city. So I feel like we need to use safety as an important factor, but not the only factor.
Right.
So.
Sure. I mean, I share your concern every time I drive that road.
It's a pretty road, but it's a pretty road at 30 miles an hour. Yeah. It is, yeah. Not when you're late for class.
I had Don and then Lisa.
A couple of questions/comments. Given what you've got written here was constructed prior to current standards, that if we don't fix it, do a major renovation or whatever, it's just going to keep going. I mean, we're just going to have to keep making repairs. If it doesn't wind up on the CIP, again, we're going to be looking at minor repairs to limp it along, if you will. You're still going to wind up with the patchwork appearance that we're concerned about as it is. So a couple of questions for me is, if you accumulated the material resources so that all you were worried about was the weather, what would be an approximate time frame to simply rebuild the whole thing at one swoop? Or break it into like quarters and just do a complete rebuild, bring it up to standards, then we're not going to be seeing this on every CIP that comes up for the next X number of years.
One thing about the road is there's a lot of driveways. And so
I understand it's going to be an inconvenience.
Traffic coordination that probably lends itself to doing phases regardless of whether we're doing it all or just doing a piece of it. But if you were going to do it all, Richard, what's your take on time frame?
A pretty risky answer.
Uh-huh. I understand. There's a lot of variables.
Yeah, once it went through the public process and you knew exactly what you were going to do, so that may take, you know, 1 to 2 years to figure
right.
that
I'm
out.
I'm talking about actual, I can't access my driveway time frame.
Yeah. We would be able to coordinate around that. We would break it up into chunks. So to do the entire project would probably take 2 full years, maybe part of another one. And then it wouldn't be torn up that entire time. You would have sections of it that you would take out in chunks. It would be a pretty interesting maintenance of traffic type project,
right?
But that's what we would have to do.
Right,
probably
but then it's done.
2 years,
it's so. Done right, and again, we can move on to thinking about other things. And for 1 or 2 CIP cycles, hopefully,
yeah, 2 to 3 years, yeah, after the public process.
Right, and I've seen that done. Your different community that, I mean, residential one way in and out, and they basically set it up, and then they said, okay, for this week, park over there and walk across your backyard to get home, you know, and they did it. So, I understand. Significant challenges.
We might be able to, you know, incentivize a contractor to do it faster on certain things, but yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Lisa. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I'm regarding Smiley Lane. Thank you for having that on the list and bringing that to everyone's attention. In the annual traffic safety, if I noted correctly, also have the challenges with Worley and Smithton Middle School that many people have brought to my attention, and I would like to thank you for that. It's the same with Fairview Road and Worley Street. That's been a popular one that we've gone back and forth and I've learned a lot about. Blue Ridge Road in Providence, the roundabout there, fantastic. There is also a real desire to have some increased lights there, especially along Providence. And I know once we get to specific stuff, we can talk about that. But I've had several people in the ward tell me about how when it's dark at 5 o'clock at night, how they feel really unsafe walking in that area. But I want to go to the Creasy Springs Road because you used that as an example. And it was a question that I had asked you, and I think that it would be helpful because when we talk about safety, you have this super, super long list. And Creasy Springs is one really sharp turn. That is something that I think many would like to see bumped up on the list. But there's a long list there, and there's only so much money. I know it doesn't grow on trees, but I'm wondering if we're putting enough money towards infrastructure needs for our growing city. I'm really wondering that, because we have a lot of needs, and I can't help but to think that I don't want to see us nickel dime every single project. I'm thinking in the big picture that this city puts in pays a lot of taxes, and we want really nice roads and lights. And I'm wondering if we need to think a little bit more deeply about that in allocating our funds and budget.
So I think that's a really general question, but that's a bigger, right, conversation, I think, to have about as far as how we do the funding for that piece. Do you want to get to the specific question around Creasy Springs in the safety area of this and maybe answer some of the questions that Lisa had emailed before?
Sure. As far as when it comes to Creasy Springs, it's got a high price tag. And when you look at that list, the list in front of you tonight is in order. And really what it comes down to is there was a couple smaller price tag projects that I was able to move up because I can't get that one in regardless, if that makes sense. And so I think it was 14 out of 18, I think is what that was. And so when you talk about needs, you're talking to Public Works, we would love to have more money. We have this tax in front of you, to go to the voters in August. More than anything, I want to make sure this one passes, and then we can talk about if we want to do something else. I would have concerns if we headed down a path that would result in not getting anything. And so getting this one passed in August is my recommendation for a first step. And then I think it is worth having a conversation, not only Public Works, but public safety related needs as well.
Clarifying on that one, is part of the high dollar amount because it has a bridge? The Creasy Springs one, is that the one that has a bridge that I think plays a part, I'm assuming?
Bridge, there's a lot of rock. There's
realignment.
So you'd be buying some properties in order to straighten out the curve that, that rightfully worried about.
Yeah. Okay.
So my project will be the Ballinger Rice Geyser, the roundabout there, and keeping intact with safety. Will sidewalks, and I know that there's a separate plan for sidewalks, but will sidewalks be attached to this roundabout? Because if we're fixing this for safety, you got a lot of young people who actually utilize this road to getting to this corner store that's here, and there's no sidewalks along here, but yet we're making it more. I know this is going to slow down traffic, but at the same time, there is barely any area off to the side of the road for people to walk on. So how does...
Sure. So any intersection project we do, we'd want to make sure that was set up for pedestrians. So the right. Intersection would be set up to accept, at the very minimum, accept sidewalks, and all four quadrants have crosswalks. Historically, what I've advocated for is choosing sidewalk projects off the sidewalk master plan. I can't off the top of my head remember what's on the sidewalk master plan in that regard. We could always look at that as a sidewalk project, but I usually recommend that if it's not on the sidewalk master plan, there's a process for that to pursue it being at. You've got some, I think, maybe
you do
Ballinger's
have,
on there.
You do
I know,
have
I don't.
Two. You have Hanover and Ballinger on this list. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming those will include sidewalks to this intersection.
But that's only on one side, because the Hanover project is literally on the right side, the Rice Road side. But Ballinger in it within itself is a heavily walked.
That's what I don't
Isn't notice. That? Okay. You'll look it up? Okay, thank you. I think that is on the sidewalk master plan.
When I talked about it last time on the sidewalk master plan, mm-hmm. And they said it would be a better project for streets, roads. Yeah.
Like when they're doing that improvement.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we do have in this ballot the project for Rice Road, which is just west of the Ballinger interchange or intersection. So that intersection as well as Rice would include all sidewalk amenities, and it would be constructed as a instead of a ditched roadway that it is now, it would be curb and gutter with sidewalks, provided that it goes through the public process and that's approved. So.
Correct. And I understand that, and that's coming with the Hanover project. I'm speaking also to Ballinger Road.
Ballinger itself.
Correct.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we would,
you know, we provided any project that we talked about in our one-on-one meetings, we provided information on each one of those. Ballinger Road was a road that we added shoulders to in the, I'm going to mess up the dates, so I got to be careful here, in the 2015 ballot. Clark Lane is a road that we added shoulders to in the 2005 ballot. So we've got Clark Lane on this one. We'd propose Ballinger in the next one is how we've got that proposed. It'd be, it's very similar to the Clark Lane project. The Ballinger project would be a roadway project. And it, so it's got a, I'm trying to remember what the exact cost was we estimated, but.
If I'm reading this right, it, is this the one that's the 8.2 million? And that's for the whole thing. But it looks like you're saying that we're still working on the previous ballots improvements from the 2015 along Ballinger Lane.
So in the 2015 ballot, we put shoulders on Ballinger. And so in order to do a sidewalk improvement, curb and gutter, the whole nine yards, to be able to bring all that, bring that ditch section up so you can put sidewalks on it, it's going to be a roadway project, and it'll run about $8 million. And so that's why we've pivoted to Clark Lane this time, and we propose Ballinger next time. And Ballinger is a good project. It'd be about an $8 million project, so we'd be looking to remove $8 million worth of stuff that's listed here tonight.
Nick Foster.
I just want to kind of challenge my new colleague to figure out how we come up with more money. Because, boy, it's true. You look at these things, it's hard. As I looked through it, I thought, boy, this is one of those places where you have to make some hard decisions, and a lot of it does come down to what kind of money we've got. So,
I guess I have a clarifying question. On some of these, you know, we know it's from safety. I'm marking down which ones, like Lisa said, I've gotten emails on, or Dawn is, you know, that we've gotten messages on. The Discovery Parkway and New Haven Road intersection of, like, the improvements that is there, do we have the traffic to justify the $1.2 million for that improvement when we're hearing, you know what I mean, these kind of needs? I'm just asking. Sorry, you're giving me a face, so I didn't know.
Can you speak to the traffic?
Yeah.
Traffic projections are what they are, but with the I-70 improvements going through Rolling Hills is going to continue to be that additional way to get to the south side of town. So if we were to not do that project, the Discovery Parkway, Rolling Hills, New Haven project now, by the time you got into the 2025 to 2035 ballot, you would be pretty far behind. Projections would be that we would get into some pretty significant crashes at that location. We've had some crashes. We had a couple of fatalities on New Haven Road. That's one of the reasons why New Haven stayed on as being a recommended project. Just to the west of here, or just to the east of here, we had another fatality. So at these intersections that are always with major arterials, both of those being major arterials, we want to our minor arterial for New Haven, but it functionally is a major arterial in the future. If we wait for that project, we are going to be behind on an improvement. Like, from a safety perspective, I would. That's just my opinion in looking at the entire list of what we're looking at. And by our HSM analysis too. So
when you, just to clarify, you mentioned the I-70 project. Are we estimating that people are going to be getting off at the St. Charles Road exit and going this way to take Rolling Hills to go south?
I think it's going to.
So that again elevates my Grace Lane question, because that goes from a major road to a two-lane, no shoulders.
I would think that would probably be true, at least until the 63 I-70 redo is done, because, you know, traffic backs up pretty badly there right now.
Right.
It will
right.
hopefully be significantly improved in the future.
Right. Yeah.
It kind of squishes into some other stuff with the, like the WW and 63 interchange. That's a unfunded needs tier two project for MoDOT. If that gets fixed and that fixes some of the stuff at St. Charles and Keene, then maybe this area isn't quite as critical. So, I mean, it's kind of a moving target, but we do this a lot. Some of these projects were on the, you know, CATSO plan or the ballot initiative from 2005. So this is one of those that has risen that up.
When Roy asked the question kind of like of the list, you know, like the priority list that we have going on, I think, you know, I'm looking at like that we try to start at the top and work our way down. Understandably that some of these that cost more, it's going to take longer to accrue that. But on ones like that, with this intersection, I imagine it could potentially happen sooner than later. And because there's a lot more space, I imagine it's easier for us to get right of way. You know, it won't maybe cost as much. And I guess that just has me concerned that then we'll find ourselves with spending all the money and not getting to some of our other projects before this happens. Is there a risk of that? I think of this because of Fire Station 11 and 10. So I understand the capital projects like that are a little bit different, but I think as far as where I want to build in contingency, it's on some of these traffic safety. I mean, some of the additional sidewalk traffic safety, some of those rather than a project that I know you're saying we're going to be behind, but we're listening to other projects where we're behind, right? That aren't even on the list.
Right, but I mean, I don't know. Discovery was the eighth. You know, the eighth highest project, you know, so the ones that fall below that in our analysis, you know, I'm just saying, while you might not be getting calls about it, that doesn't mean that it's not a safety problem, you know.
Okay. Back to safety. I've got Betsy and then Nick.
So one answer to Nick's question about where do you get the money? And I'm not really suggesting we do this, but I am going to bring it up as a thought. We're asking them to renew this CIP, but we're not asking for any more money. I mean, is there an opportunity maybe to ask for half a cent instead of a quarter cent? That would double what you have. I don't know if people have that willingness or ability to do that, or whether we're better off, because I think we can get it past the way it is, because it's not an increased tax. But I'm just bringing this up. I mean, you know, every 10 years we do the same thing. Mm. I guess you could say we're probably getting more. I don't know where our finance director is. We're probably getting more. There you are. Are we having more, you know, is our sales tax going up, though, because we are growing as a city? But so I'm just bringing it up as a conversation.
Matthew Liu, if you want to come up and speak into a microphone, you're invited. Richard Stone will gladly live, but I guess.
I don't think I've ever seen him move quite that fast. So.
But yeah, and to that with Betsy, the other thing is like with every household, big or small, where do we need to make changes? And, you know, internally, and we've got so many talented people that we could probably come up with some other places to make sure that infrastructure is a high, high priority. Public safety and infrastructure should be where we're putting our, you know.
And I think you'll see that reflected in the budget. It's just that we don't, I mean, how big is the budget is? We're restricted on where our revenue sources come from. Hi, Matthew.
Hello. Good evening. So our sales taxes are increasing, but they aren't increasing to the same magnitude as our expenses are right now. And so that's a lot of the issue that we are seeing with the budget.
Like the cost of the capital projects.
Yes.
Cost more than a quarter cent doesn't go as far as it used to.
That's correct.
No, not 10 years ago, so not today, right. Matthew, I'm curious, if you have any recommendations for us as we're considering this, I would really value your perspective.
There are other sales taxes that you could look at. I think that would probably be a bigger conversation and something that we may want to look at in the future. We could probably bring some things back for everyone to look at.
Yeah, that's
I'm a city manager, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my suggestion is that for the purpose of what we're trying to do today, that we concentrate on this sales tax, let's go with what we believe we can get past, but I think we do need to have that larger conversation about revenues and expenditures to see exactly for where we're going to go into the future. I mean, one of the things that we know, we're a growing city. When you talk to the county and you look at some of their projections for growth and what that's going to mean for Columbia, it's going to be substantial. So we do need to be prepared for our infrastructure. We need to make sure that as we're developing our infrastructure, we're developing in those growth patterns. And so I think that's part of a larger conversation. But I think for peace of mind of staff, I think it would be easier to concentrate on this sales tax for this initiative, and then let's have a larger conversation on how do we look into the future.
Let's do. So we teased the subject of revenues at our last work session.
Absolutely.
When we talked about some water projects, other enterprise projects and related to. So let's maybe, I don't know if we have our agenda set for the retreat, but either if it's part of that conversation or just an upcoming work session as we get closer to your budget.
I think an upcoming work session.
Okay.
I think there's, when we talk about needs, and so if you look at for the fire department, when I asked the chief, the former chief, to put together a plan for what their needs are, that was $100 million. Well, we don't have $100 million, so let's scale that back. So what you don't have on here is there's a lot of, we have what, 10 houses? We have 11 that's going to be built. Mm-hmm. Out of those 10 houses, probably 3 or 4 need to be replaced.
Right.
And so that's a cost. And so we really need to kind of look at all our facilities and actually look at exactly where we're going and what do we need to do in order to make sure that we put in place for something that could be sustained and can last.
And then potentially those, we'd start pulling out capital projects are different than transportation.
Exactly.
Versus public safety. Okay.
So for purposes of this conversation, stick with the, we would like to renew the same sales
yes.
tax that we have
yes.
presently for what's available.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just by bring it up.
And I would also like to, I wanted to clarify something that Lisa brought up on the list of the traffic calming or the traffic, no, hold on, different list, traffic safety, the additional increase in that. You had the list of those mid-block crossings. Are those projects on here or those examples of what that could cover?
Those are projects that have been brought forward to staff that we've collected up. And it was, so the total amount of money between traffic calming and traffic safety in the 2015 ballot is very similar to what we proposed in 2025. We just reallocated money to more of that money to traffic safety because we're having to match Safe Streets for All grant, and we've got these projects, and we've done a lot of traffic calming projects. And so we feel like we can pivot over to that, but if there are traffic calming projects that there's a desire of council that we do, we can move that money back and forth. It's just a matter of we feel like traffic safety is the place to do
right, that. And I wasn't arguing on that. I was just clarifying because I know we've had a couple of incidents of crashes near Bethel Road, and that's been a conversation that the neighbors have had, especially with this proximity to the middle school.
And so one of the things I did, 5 of those projects are near schools. It'd be really nice if Columbia Public Schools would help us prioritize those 5. I think everyone would agree that the ones closest to schools make a lot of sense to be at the top anyway. It's just a matter of which ones you want to do. It'd be awesome if they wanted to cost share, but regardless, that, you know, do those projects. But those are examples of projects that we're aware of. And so having some kind of program to take care of those, we would have that money, but we'd probably want some help from council in how we prioritize those, because otherwise it'll be, why are you spending your money here and not over here? Very similar to our traffic management program for traffic calming, where we have a way that we rank them. We don't have, as we sit here today, don't have a way to prioritize those internally and produce that, so.
And when it comes to traffic calming, we prioritize those annually. There's a reprioritization that's done on an annual basis.
Correct. Okay. There's it's 120 something on the list.
Yep.
I gave you the first page. even if you had the same amount of money that we have in this previous ballot, that's about as many as you could possibly get through is on that first page. As you can imagine, though, there's projects that have been on there for a while that don't move, and other projects, you know, there could be a project out there right now that someone's doing a petition on that comes in and we study it and jumps right to the top of the list.
Right.
That happens. There's some that languish at the bottom and that they'll probably stay there. And so as we get through some of these projects, there's some that I think the traffic staff would be like, yep, that's a good place for that. We'll start to run out of those over time. And so we feel like it's a good time to pivot money to traffic safety from traffic calming.
Yeah, it just seems to me I'm hearing more and more about traffic calming. And, you know, I think that's a larger question that is addressed by more than how many speed humps we put in. But, and I've heard about languishing projects also over time as well. Okay.
Can I get back to a question that Roy had brought up? His question made me think of this. Is it the common practice to try to kind of like, I don't think taking turns is the right phrase, but sort of like share, like you did a project for Ballinger on the last ballot, so this time we're doing Clark, and then, you know what I mean? Like kind of like in order to spread the limited funds that we have throughout an area? Because I also see that like on this ballot, there's a lot more in Ward 3, and then last ballot, there's a lot more in Ward 5. Like, is that kind of the MO?
I think what I would tell you is that we feel like we've done some safety improvements on Ballinger. It might not be the finished product that we want, but we've done that work. And so I think we have some concerns about going, you know, I'll just be frank, going back to the voters and saying, well, there's Ballinger back on there again, you know. And so spreading money around is the wrong way to say that.
Okay.
But I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I looked at it and said, well, is there some stuff in each ward and how does that work? Some are harder than others just by the nature of the type of projects that we're talking about, though.
Yeah. No. I assume that a lot of them are under traffic calming for you. Other questions? Clarifying. Yeah, Lisa.
I had asked this question earlier, and I would appreciate you just sharing it again. So I had shared that I'm concerned about adding bike lanes on busy streets like Clark Lane, New Haven, Nifong, St. Charles, if the bike lanes are not protected, because when they're right there on the road, that causes both the driver's anxiety and the bicyclist, they're really close. But if you've got space in between, then I'm sure that, we're talking about money. So tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are about that. And then how much does it cost to have a bike lane?
Sure.
And how does that impact the overall cost of everything?
Right. So the first thing I tell you is the city's had a complete streets policy for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at a road on every project in this last CIP and every project going forward, look at it for all modes of transportation, whether that's pedestrians or bicyclists or motor vehicles. Over time, the desires of the community have changed, and you're starting to see that. You saw that with our forum public hearing. And so one of the things that we asked for and received money for in the first round of Safe Streets for All grant money was to look at our complete streets policy, have a consultant, somebody from the outside come in and look at that, say, what are other communities doing? Where do we need to update? So, I mean, that's a factor in this. So what comes out of that will dictate what our new standard detail is for a major roadway. And then the public process also does that as well, because there could be locations where it's difficult to put in that protected a bike lane. That might not be the desire of those neighbors, and all that stuff comes to council. So it can take on various shapes and sizes. Really, when it comes to the protected bike lane or the bike lane in the road, really what makes projects more expensive is you expand this way, as you expand out. So just like we talked about with mm-hmm. Forum, mm-hmm. we're trying to shove a whole bunch of stuff into that area. We've got more right of way. We can go wider. We can put all that in, but you're going to impact all those neighbors, either have higher retaining walls or take out a lot of trees and things like that. So it's that balance that's difficult. But that's usually what makes the project more expensive, not necessarily where there's bike lanes or a protected bike lane. We have some maintenance concerns. I'll be the first to tell you, we talked about that with Forum.
Right.
That's not the highest hurdle. It's more just what area we're looking at, and it varies by project.
Any other questions for the staff? Nick Foster.
I guess just clarity here. I think I understand it, but the money that's in here for cost share agreements really is not for any specific projects, but what might be anticipated moving down the road, right? I have a question about the money that will go to fire. This one includes, and I don't know where Chief needs to come up for this or not, but this one includes...
it's probably a Shane question anyway, because he'll be building the building.
Well, but it's about the purchase of the apparatus.
Oh, no, then that is definitely a Chief.
Yeah. So with the purchase of these apparatus, I don't know whether that was a part of the previous CIP or not, but I just wonder, was it a part of the previous CIP? But by that, I mean additional for a new firehouse.
I can answer that.
What we're talking about here is we're talking about $5 million for one firehouse on the front end, which needs to happen. And I just wonder if that complicates the rest of the purchases that happen there or the amount that we specify for that purpose.
One thing I was going to clarify is that each of the past two capital improvement sales tax have included basically the replacement of a fire truck of some sort each year.
Right.
And then had either acquiring property for new fire stations or new fire stations.
Okay.
So almost everyone has been roughly the same. What I would tell you is, as with everything we've talked about tonight, as the price of a fire truck goes up and the cost to purchase property and build a building, it doesn't go as far as it used to. And so very similar conversations we're having about road tax can easily apply to public safety.
And then about the police downtown facility, we are not really going to know until we have a needs assessment done what we're looking at there, right?
Right.
But can any more be said about that? Where are we falling short? Besides the HVAC, where are we falling short in what that facility provides at present?
Are we talking specifically about the downtown building right now?
Yeah.
And again, you're asking me where we're falling short with that project, or?
Well, exactly. I guess more about what the general need is. With the kind of thing that you're talking about and the kind of money that we're looking at probably spending here, that building is falling short of what's needed now. And I guess I'm just trying to get clarity about where those shortfalls are. How is our service diminished by the current facility?
So some of this comes back to the original needs assessment and what the plan was at the time. So when that plan culminated, and if you want it, we have it. You don't have to have that huge binder. I promise I'm not going to copy that, Mayor.
Thank you.
We have it on flash drives. when we did that at the time, the plan was to have patrol staff pretty much evenly split between north, south, and the central city. And when you looked at that needs assessment, they predicted, rightfully so, that we're growing northeast and southwest, which is the way the city's stretching. And so that's how we ended up where we are with the North Station. We probably would have liked to have been a little bit further east, but we have to think about roadway infrastructure and how we can get places more quickly. So the South Station, at that time, the thought was probably about where they put the new middle school down on Sinclair was where we wanted to be. But the downtown station was really meant to have a third of the staff, so that really you're talking about response times to different parts of the city. You know, a lot of cities that are growing, that are our size, we visited different cities, and they essentially have a pretty close to autonomous police facility in different parts of the city. Lincoln, Nebraska is that way. Arlington, Texas is that way. Those are bigger cities than us, but that's the direction that we're going. And so having facilities that, you know, you're not duplicating your most expensive things, but having room for patrol staff, for detectives, for evidence drop, for, you know, processing evidence, all those kinds of things. And so that was what the needs assessment predicted back then. I would say some of that is still true. We're still growing in those same directions. The bigger questions I probably have are, would we still want to split patrol staff into thirds? Do we still want to house some patrol staff downtown? Should downtown simply be administrative with some investigative staff and other people that you think of being downtown? Those are all questions I think that we'll go through in that process again, because the process we did before was very lengthy and involved. But the status of that building right now is pretty bad. I mean, I remember when they came through, the company came through and looked at it, and they were fairly concerned about the electrical infrastructure. I don't construct anything or do any demolition. I might be able to do, but you can't plug in certain things on the ground floor without tripping a breaker. I mean, that's kind of the point that we're to. And so the HVAC is, as Shane reminds me on a regular basis, we have to keep a contingency fund just to keep the HVAC running in that building. So we're kind of to the point where, do we keep putting, $2 to $4 million in the parking deck and the HVAC, or do we move forward with what the original plan was, which was starting over with that building? One of the conversations that keeps coming up when we talk about it is, when they remodeled the Boone County Courthouse, they built up, and there were shell, floors on that building for a period of time. They just overbuilt so that at least the shell was there and they had room to expand. And so I think that was the original thought for downtown. Finding property downtown is very difficult. So there were conversations at one time about, could the armory lot be a footprint? I think probably where we're at now is about as good as it's going to get, but that's some of the biggest challenges with the project.
Other questions for staff on this? Yeah, Don.
Circling back to the fire and equipment, DeCarlin had mentioned a couple of the current fire stations are going to need either major renovations or replacement, but that's not even accounted for in here. Is that going to be handled separately, or is that going to push those off until 2035, or what's the plan there?
So we're just going to have to do an analysis. So we're going to look at our facilities and come up with a plan on what we can do in order to make improvements. And so while ideally it would be nice to do a capital project, we may have to do a major renovation, which we pay out of our own funds.
Okay.
So, but they need to be addressed, and so we are putting together a plan to address it.
All right. Thank you.
Just to clarify on that. So part of the plan is to do almost like the facility assessment, needs assessment of the current facilities.
It's a lot easier than the police needs assessment.
Yeah, I imagine.
And so,
how do you guys describe it? It's a house with a really big garage, I think is how we refer to fire stations. But much nicer than that, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's for this one, it's more looking at a rehab project as opposed to trying to do a really large needs assessment.
Okay. So we've had a lot of conversation this evening. You all obviously have your priority list that you've given to us. There's been a couple other projects that have been kind of asked for. I haven't necessarily, though, heard of things coming off to replace. But because of what you've heard, the idea is the committee goes off with this list of what we have of recommendations. And you also, though, have the knowledge of the additional questions asked, so that as those opportunities arise, there's the potential you'll come back to council and be like, this one actually we're not going to, or I don't know how that conversation goes, but it could potentially rise up. I haven't seen that happen on a CIP before, where a project has not happened except for a fire station being completed under the current dollars. But is that your thought of going forward?
I mean, one, I just had that thought sitting here, but we could make our major maintenance projects like a similar to a subcategory, meaning like our annual funds. We have to decide how much money we want to put in there, but then we could have that conversation down the road as to what actual projects we're going to do. We've listed them out, and I think listing them out helps voters understand, hey, if I vote for this, in theory, that's what the city is going to do with my money. But if there's concern about the major maintenance component of that, maybe we're going to spend this much on major maintenance. The question is, do you think that hinders our ability in the public, if we did something like that?
I mean, I think we'd rely on what has worked in the past as far as that conversation goes. But I think by not listing it out, it does give you more flexibility.
It does.
Right? If you do see a project that is actually, or you can potentially find a cost share that you can also use major maintenance.
Well, and what I like about that is we've talked a little bit about funding for maintenance in general, you know, through our other means. It allows us to say we're going to have some money that's in this that's dedicated really to maintenance. That's really what we're talking about here. And then we can talk about how much money we put towards that from other means, and then what's left of that's got to come out of this. And then how we decide those projects is a combination of those two. Whereas right now we're trying to take some projects away from maintenance because they're higher ticket or, you know, something like that. And so I think that does give us more flexibility, but it means we need to have that conversation as part of the fiscal year 25 budget when it comes to maintenance in general, if that makes sense. But it allows us to move forward. You just have to decide how much money you want in that subcategory.
Okay. Don, you had your hand up, and then Betsy.
So if this is projected, we're trying to get this done and have it on the August 24 ballot. Is that correct?
Correct.
So for the ballot, we're just going to have like the two paragraphs of language that was shown updated appropriately. The final list then is what we're going to be presenting to the public. What are we looking at as for a deadline to have this list finalized?
There's no defined deadline. As soon as possible is what I would tell you, because while city staff can't go out and advocate for passing the tax, we do a lot of education, whether that's through the website or through going to Rotary clubs and things like that and giving presentations about if you pass this, these are the projects we're talking about doing and what those entail. So not having that list makes it difficult.
You're very generous, but I thought it was tonight. I mean, ideally.
No, I would like to have it tonight. Yeah. It's whether I'm going to get it tonight. It's a different
thing. Well, and I think that's where kind of having like the major ones, but then if we offer up the flexibility in the major maintenance, then it gives you some of that flexibility with what it is that you're proposing to do, as well as the conversation for the fiscal year 25 budget. Because if I'm correct, this is getting potentially, the ballot language, is it being introduced on Monday?
Yes.
Right, and so we're passing it. And ideally, then the transportation committee goes out and starts advocating on behalf of this. And so that's where it is helpful. Because, this hasn't changed much since our work session earlier this year.
Very little.
Right.
And I think in the past, we passed a resolution just kind of acknowledging these projects.
Betsy.
So I have two things about that. I feel somewhat uncomfortable about passing this tonight. I know that we had this conversation in December, and then you spoke with all of us, and then this shows up tonight. So, and this is a work
session. And
we won't
be passing.
So you're not
passing
anything, right?
No, I'm just saying, like, for them to feel comfortable as far as, like, what is our list? Like, you're correct. We're not passing anything tonight. But what they're going to put on the resolution that will come to us at the May 20th meeting will be this list. And so it's kind of like if there are things that we wanted them to have that flexibility on one thing, of potentially, we'll talk, you know, if those things move, that's what would come to that.
I'm lost now, Barbara.
Nancy.
So what we'll do is you're going to have the ordinance to put the ballot measure on for introduction and first read on the May 6th meeting. On the May 20th meeting, in addition to having that come forward, we will have a resolution with an exhibit attached. It'll be this. Or if you want to provide feedback to staff to alter this in some way, then that's the time to do it, really before that comes back. Or that night, consider it between now and that night and decide if there's a change that you want to make to it before you adopt kind of that. And we call it more of a resolution of intent for intended projects,
right,
that council supports moving forward for that ballot.
Okay. So. Thank you, because that helps. I'm like, wait a minute. The other question is just the Keene Street to Richland Road. What can you expand on that, what we're talking about doing and why we're talking about doing it, and it's a $10 million project, and how much traffic do we actually have up there?
So like I said, we looked at those projects. Richland Road was an, you know, Richland Road along with what was the other one? St. Charles.
St. Charles is the one I'm asking about.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting
That's
confused.
Okay. It's getting late.
So,
I'm sure.
I know. Well, we looked at two different sections of that, and they scored really high from a safety perspective, and we're seeing growth in that area of town, and so those, like I said, those were two projects that we believe would improve safety, and that's really why they're on the list. One thing I will say is, with Richland Road and the two sections of St. Charles on here, you know, one improvement might change how some of the roads are used over there, and so that's something we could analyze. But like I said, we determined a methodology, and that's what we're using.
It's for all the physicians' offices and the newer Drury Inn and the Solstice, the senior care living, that whole area.
Yeah, but
between
that's on Keene Street, and this is a St. Charles Road from Keene Street to Richland Road. And the only reason I'm asking about that is, and I can't remember what, if you guys have said anything about working on Ballinger, but that's a $9.8 million stretch of road you have on St. Charles. And it's still in the third ward, so we're not changing wards. So I'm just asking why that has a higher, and you can go back and look at it. I don't know. I don't know what the safety numbers are for Ballinger. I just keep hearing that there's an awful lot of people walking on Ballinger. I don't know how many are on St. Charles. So it's more of a question than a.
And it's, you know? We can look at Ballinger in the same way we looked at the other ones. The reason we didn't look at Ballinger is because it was part of the 2015 ballot, and we just added shoulders to it as a safety improvement. So it wasn't something that we looked at to come back in the very next ballot and say, now we're going to redo the whole road and make it, you know, those roads.
Are we putting shoulders all along Ballinger or just at an intersection?
What was the...
We already did.
We've already done that.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Then I'll quit asking that. I need to drive out there, I guess. This is not my ward.
A question?
Okay. Oh.
The communications. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my question is about communication when it comes to outwardly when and if this is passed.
Before?
Even before? Okay, how are we communicating? You said we were going to go to Rotary clubs and different places. How are we making sure we're reaching the marginalized community? Because some of them don't go to the websites, and they're not going to specific places in which we're advertised. So how are we making sure that when they come out and they're voting, that they know exactly what they're voting on?
Sure. I'll start with what's been done in the past and what I envision. We've talked about I've talked with our folks that handle social media, because it's definitely not me, about how to best get the word out through social media, through our city channels, how to best communicate some place for people to go on a website, whether I'm handing them something that says, hey, go to this website or scan this QR code or whatever it is to find out more information about each thing. And then there's always been an outside city committee that has kind of functioned as the folks that are kind of out there saying, hey, you ought to vote for this. Well, then they're reaching out to us, the fire chief, police chief, and I, about getting us into those places. If there are particular places you would like us to reach out to, we're open for that. Really, it's more them inviting us than it is us going out, because we have to be careful about how we handle that, because I'm not allowed to go out and say you should vote for this.
Okay.
You might want to clarify on that piece. The city is not, like, you're allowed to go out and give information, but you're not allowed to go out and say this is why you should vote for this. So for that piece. But I think, I mean, this is a conversation we have with more than just this vote, is the need to get. And I know you're working on more community engagement.
Yes.
Alternative
yes.
methods than the city normally does?
Absolutely. And so part of the process is being present. And so how do we reach the marginalized community? We actually have to go into the neighborhoods and actually talk to people. So it's about setting a process that we are available to go out and speak and talk about what these projects are and what does it mean for the neighborhood and the community. And so what we're going to have to do is actually develop those places that we need to be at and actually have a process for going out to those places. So we will do that.
Include senior care facilities, because
Yeah, Nick Foster.
To include senior care facilities.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nick, you had
to I was going to suggest there are going to be a number of events in the community over the next few months around Juneteenth, July 4th.
Yep.
And tabling at those events would be a good idea.
Absolutely.
Think. Yeah, that kind of thing, which takes us into the communities that way.
Okay, in general, I think questions. So the next steps, we'll have this on intro and first read, just the ballot language. The May 20th meeting will have the ballot language as well as a resolution with the list of projects. In the time being, as additional questions come to council members or constituents reach out to us, DeCarlin, I'm assuming is that we reach out to you and Shane and kind of just get some clarifications.
Yes.
And then you'll make sure to send that information to all of council.
Absolutely.
The response.
Yes.
Questions on this one? And then additional revenue streams will be a future work session to be
absolutely
scheduled. Yeah. All right. Anything else to cover for tonight? All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And we'll go ahead and stop.
Thank
conclude. 6:57. Deuce.